This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Welcome into Burns Postgame Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can, too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swing and a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws, in time!
This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Just in case you forgot how painful this game can be, Royals lose to Cleveland in 10 innings, falling to the defending division champions on opening day for a second straight season. Final score, Cleveland 7. Royals 4. Phone lines are open for you. I'm anxious to hear where we're taking this program this evening. The phone number, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Okay, maybe it's not painful. Maybe that was the incorrect choice of words, right? It's game one of 162. How can game one be painful? Right? Somebody? Now, maybe you're able to, and if this was your first opening day, you know, I had a chance to talk with a number of Royals fans that haven't been to an opening day since 2017. This was their first ever opening day. It's been more than a decade since the last time they came out. Well, I need some of you in my life in this postgame show, because I'm sure if it's been a while since you've made the trek out to the K for an opener, yeah, you enjoyed all the festivities and Willie Wilson and Lorenzo Cain and the introductions and the bunting and the pomp and the circumstance. Kudos to you. Personally, I did all that stuff. I drank it all in 2018. Oh boy, I couldn't get enough bunting in 2019. Oh boy, that was... Oh, the pomp and circumstance really hit me in the heart in 2022 and 2023, even last year, man, a very memorable opening day. But you know what? No, this was a painful loss for yours truly, because 2025, my friends, and you know this, they know this, 2025, it's a very short menu. It's a win or it's a loss, and today, it's a big fat L. Now, they have 161 more opportunities to pick up W's. Expecting them to win coming up on Saturday with Seth Lugo on the hill. Win again on Sunday with Michael Wacha. Now, just like we talked about so very often last season, I hope it's the case again here in 2025, but you heard me say it dozens of times last year. The best part about that team was the next game's starting pitcher. So even after a tough loss, hey, you'd get excited about the runner-up for the American League Cy Young Award in Seth Lugo. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that Lugo and that Waka show up in 2024. But yeah, for me, this one was painful. You know, painful base running in the eighth inning. Yeah, you look at the final lines and it's painful that Cole Ragans was out-dueled by Ben Lively. It's painful that you coughed up a 3-0 lead. That your lefty specialist was tagged by a lefty. That you got to a Cy Young Award candidate, the number 3 Cy Young Award candidate last season. According to the voting, right, it went Tarik Skubal, Seth Lugo, Emmanuel Clase, and then Cole Ragans. You got to Emmanuel Clase. And you still lose the game. 7-4, the final score in 10 innings. Let's go right to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. We start off in North Kansas City. Joe, you're hitting leadoff this evening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the game. 30,000 plus of us. Got a car full of guys here. It was a fun game. It's a good opening day, but as you said, it's just a terrible loss. I wanted to just ask you a question before I said, and other people say their words. What did you and would you intentionally walk Carlos Santana there in the 10th?
To get to Manzardo? I had no issue with it in the moment. Lefty on lefty, Sam Long going up against Manzardo. Yeah, I didn't furrow my brow when they put the 4 fingers up for Carlos Santana. I'm assuming you did. If so, tell me why.
I actually don't mind it. It's just Manzardo had a huge hit against Zerpa earlier in the game. Yeah. I like the lefty on lefty, but he had a huge hit earlier. The only other thing is I don't think Renfro played fairly well, and I just want to hear what you thought on that too. So, thank you.
Yeah, 0-for-4 at the dish for Hunter Renfro. You know, the ball that bounced around in right field that caromed off the wall. Manzardo's one-out triple in the 4th inning. I wouldn't say that Renfro misplayed that. I mean, the only way he could have played that properly is if he runs to the right field wall, right field corner, and sticks his foot up against the wall and blocks that. It was very, very much, if you're a hockey fan, you know, you see that puck whip around the boards countless times. That's what it looked like. And then the ball that was out of his reach off of the bat of Stephen Kwan in the 9th inning, or excuse me, in the 10th inning. I never thought he had a chance at it, to be quite honest. I was surprised that he took that angle. I don't think he ever really had a real crack, at least from my vantage point, looking at the angle. I don't think Renfro ever had a shot at that ball. But he knew he had Kyle Isbell backing him up. He made a throw home on the sack fly off of the bat of Noel in the 4th inning. Not a great throw home. I don't think he was as bad as some may feel leaving the ballpark because, yeah, it did seem like, and he did. He got a lot of work out there in right field, and no plays really stand out as extraordinary. Couple that with an 0-for-4 day at the dish, and I can understand your disappointment with Hunter Renfro's performance. Now, to go back to the Sam Long v. Kyle Manzardo battle in the 10th inning, I understand your point. Joe, I get why you would be curious as to why Q made that move, knowing that Manzardo walked against the lefty in Cole Ragans, hit that aforementioned triple off of Ragans in the 4th inning, hit the game-altering 2-run home run off of lefty Angel Zerpa in the 6th. The only time Manzardo was set down was against a right-hander in Hunter Harvey in their 8th inning matchup. The way that I look at it, it's not so much, hey, he's, and I'm not saying I'm right, but as I'm watching the game, I'm managing along with the game. For as quality of a hitter as Kyle Manzardo's going to be, and many people thought he would be when he made his way to the big leagues last season, Royals pitching didn't execute to Manzardo. Now, fourth inning, Cole Reagans misses with a slider. Not where he wanted to put that pitch, and Manzardo made him pay for it. Now, Angel Zerpa, 97, in the kitchen. I mean, he went in on Manzardo. I'll tip my cap to Manzardo on that one. 97 in on the black, and you take it 106 miles per hour over the right field wall. And the Sam Long slider, again, I think he wanted that down and away, but it went into the nitro zone to a left-handed hitter, down and in. When a guy's feeling good, you can't miss. You certainly can't miss as much as the Royals pitching did today. Again, another reason why it's painful, right? Royals are known for their defense. Does any defensive play really stand out to you today? Honestly, the best defensive play I saw was Sam Long coming off the mound to get Lane Thomas in the 10th inning. Showed a lot of composure to collect himself and make a strong throw. No, base running. Base running, defense, pitching, we thought, and we still believe the bullpen has improved. No, but those four things, really every single facet, if we're being honest, every single facet didn't perform poorly, but they were outplayed across the board. I can't imagine a Royals fan walking away from this game saying, yeah, we lost, but I'm feeling pretty good about that. The thing you should feel good about is Seth Lugo pitching on Saturday. You know Cole Reagans is going to bounce back in a big way. And Michael Wacha toes the slab coming up on Sunday. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. We go to Big Pete in Kansas City. Pete, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Great to be back for another season. Beautiful day at the K. Sold out. Standing room only. Tickets going for $80. You know, 2 years ago, who would have thought that? So I think we got to appreciate where we were and where we are today. And, you know, we have expectations. So that's great, as frustrating as today was. My question for you is, was it a good idea to pull Reagans at that point? I mean, 83 pitches. He wasn't having his best stuff, but yeah. I don't like throwing Zerpa into that action, you know, with men on, and that was tough. That's what I was frustrated about. The base running in the eighth or seventh was terrible, but we can dawn on that all day. But what do you think about pulling Reagans at that point?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Pete. I was in lockstep with Q on that one. I was not going to let Reagans face Manzardo again. Especially with Angel Zerpa. Let's remember what type of ascension we saw from Zerpa last season. I'm not going to tell you about spring training. You know, the two most talked about names in spring training were Jonathan India and Angel Zerpa. India goes 0-for-5, and Angel Zerpa serves up the game tying, or excuse me, gives up the lead with that two-run home run to Manzardo. But let's remember the ascension that we saw from Zerpa last season. Now, this was the guy that in the biggest spots with the best Yankee bat at the dish, Q turned to him. Juan Soto coming up in a big spot in the fifth, sixth, seventh. Zerpa was the guy. Zerpa earned that role with his fearlessness, his stuff, and his confidence. No, I had no issue with it whatsoever. That has to be an out for Angel Zerpa. But I know that sounds silly in a game of failure, but lefties need to be automatic for Angel Zerpa, not just for his own benefit and the security of a roster spot. Does that need to be automatic? But for this team, they're relying on Angel Zerpa to be that lefty specialist. Now, I think, honestly, if Q, other than, you know, Cole Reagans pitching all nine innings, if Q was going to draw it up, knowing that he would need to use an arm or two out of the bullpen, yeah, certainly wanted Urseg, Harvey, and Estevez to get out there, but if he had a big out against a lefty, he knew coming into the game that he was going to go to Angel Zerpa. And Zerpa didn't get the job done. You know, first pitch, fastball again, 97. In. tip your cap to Manzardo. 913-586-7965. My game notes following this 7-4 extra inning loss. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. All right, let's go to Lincoln, who's out in Leawood. Lincoln, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Oh, we lost Lincoln. Darn it. All right, how about Eric in Kansas City? I think Eric is hanging on. Eric, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Vern, how are you?
All right.
I appreciate taking my call here, and I appreciate being back here to Roy's baseball season. The last time I was out here at Truman Sports Complex, it wasn't a fun. It was a good time here at Arrowhead, but since then it has been a rough time for KC sports fans, and it wasn't a great one here today. I guess my question is about coaching here, and Zerpa getting hit off the first pitch. It just seemed like either is this poor coaching or they just knew what was coming right off the bat. And that was my frustration here today. Great crowd. I appreciate the fun times out here. It was a great time to take my 9-year-old, but man, it's tough going through these last few months here and then starting off Royal season like this.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Things have changed in this city quite a bit. When that's how we're talking about a loss in the Super Bowl and a trip to the ALDS, but you know what? Good, man. That's how this city should carry itself, like champions with high expectations, not settling. I get it. I don't know if I would call it a tumultuous 6 months, but Zerpa. Giving up that two-run shot in the sixth inning, in my opinion, doesn't come back to coaching. Now, Q pulls Cole Reagans, as I just mentioned, justifiably so. Angel Zerpa comes in out of the bullpen. I'd venture to guess that Q's words of wisdom aren't, hey, 97 on the black. He's not telling him what pitch to throw. You know what? Even if Zerpa would have told whoever's standing in the box, here comes 97 on the black, it's not easy to hit. So yeah, Manzardo may have been sitting first pitch fastball. That's fine. Good luck squaring it up. He did. 424 feet to give Cleveland a 4-3 lead. Royals would tie it up with a run in the ninth inning. And then 3 runs scored by the Guardians in the 10th lead us to that 7-4 final score. 913-586-7965. We go to Laura in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show. Laura, how are you?
Vern, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
I was out at the game today. I just want to tell you, good game. It was a good day. But I spent the entire day listening to two men say, "We can't wait to hear Vern's opinion. As soon as we leave, we're turning Vern on." And all I wanted to do was sit in the car alone and listen to Phil Collins, against all odds, crying about how this game went. So just wanted to share that with you.
Well, I appreciate you grinding through it and listening to my opinion. And tell those dudes thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Pretty nice of them. 913-586-7965. Royals lose 7-4. Only one Royal was able to muster multiple hits today, and that is Vinny Pasquantino. Today's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. Vinny 2-for-4 with that 3-run home run in the third inning and then a leadoff double in the ninth that led to the fourth run of the game for the boys in blue. The game-tying run there in the ninth inning. Vinny, his first ever opening day hit is a 3-run go-ahead blast. Vinny Pasquantino with just not only a solid day at the dish, but the fact that he finds himself in the lineup after straining that hamstring back on Saturday, commendable. The undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. And for being named Player of the Game, Vinny will receive a delicious gourmet dinner for two from Guaranteed Foods to prepare and enjoy at home. Him and his wife, I know, will love it. I know I did. The jumbo cooked peel and the shrimp cocktail, the two hefty USDA choice all-natural gourmet filet mignons of beef, two private reserve twice-baked potatoes with cheddar cheese, grade A fancy asparagus spears, and two slices of gourmet turtle cheesecake for dessert. It'll all be delivered to your home from Guaranteed Foods. All you add, Vinny, is wine. Congratulations again to our Guaranteed Foods player of the game, the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. We go back to the phone calls at 913-586-7965 and talk to our buddy Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, Happy New Year. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm all right. I mean, obviously, it's disappointing and frustrating that we can't do simple things like base running. That's like one of the most simple things in baseball. But, you know, like you said, you just got to move on to Seth Lugo and Michael Walker. But I was not a fan. I just got home, but I was not a fan of him putting in on Angel Zerpa. I maybe would have liked to see Daniel Lynch come back because of how he ended last season. But, you know, I'm just calm now. We just got to get our bats going and just can't run into those mistakes again, Vern.
Oh, you're right, Garrett. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Daniel Lynch on the opening day roster. He'll get his opportunity. No doubt about it. But let's remember, Lynch not on the playoff roster. Zerpa, the guy they turned to face Juan Soto. Nice to hear from you, Garrett. Let's go to Brian in Kansas City. Brian, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Oh, you're right, Garrett. Hey, Vern, I'm excited to join you here on 96.5. This is the first time I've ever been to opening day, and I had an absolute blast. I just kind of wanted to hear you and kind of hear what you had to say about just kind of the future of this team this season. A lot of talk about Angel Zerpa. Don't want to cover that again. But I had an absolute blast. What do you think the future, the peak of this team can be this season? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you very much for the phone call. The peak of this team this season, well, you know, win the division. So then you're in October, and as we've all learned, anything can happen in October. But as I say that, you know, the post-game show goofball in Detroit, the loudmouth in Minneapolis, and the Cleveland post-game show host, I'm sure they feel the exact same way. Hey, Chicago got a big win today. Who knows what they're saying on the South Side right now? But Guardians, Twins, Tigers, Royals, any of those four teams can win the division. Now, Brian, you understand who it begins with, right? Bobby, Vinny, Salvi need to be great, very good to great. No, Bobby needs to be great. Salvi and Vinny in India need to be very good. Reagans, Lugo, Waka need to be very good. So that's where it starts. That allows you to stay in the race. I think you're encouraged with the 1-2-3 performance of Estevez and Harvey and Lucas Erceg. 8 up, 8 down for the big three in the back end of your bullpen. Those three need to be... I'm not obviously not HDH, but I have my questions about the rotation. Lugo was the runner-up for the American League Cy Young. Reagans finished fourth. Waka threw as well as he has in 7 years. And Brady Singer was better than a league average pitcher. Can you get that kind of performance from the top four in your rotation? If not, the bullpen needs to pick up the slack. Offensively, I mentioned the top four need to be very good to great. You give me some solid defense and solid base running, that should be enough. Shoot, solid base running, solid defense, the big three in the lineup and the big three in the rotation, that was enough to keep you in the mix last season. It got you into the playoffs. But if you want to win the division, Massey and Renfro need to stay healthy, and give you a league average type of offensive performance. If you're going to win the division, those big three at the back end of the bullpen need to be consistently quality. Not going to say they need to be great, but they need to help ease the burden on Michael Lorenzen and Chris Bubich and even a Michael Waka or any slight regression from Lugo or Reagans. The ceiling is win the division, which means the ceiling is win the World Series. But it begins with health, and it begins with the big three. Big three in the lineup, big three in the rotation. Show me their numbers at the end of the season, and I think I'll have a pretty good idea of the win-loss record of this club. Brian, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Austin in Kansas City. Austin, you're next up on the postgame show. What's going on?
Hey, Vern, how's it going?
All right.
We're just heading back from the K today. Incredible day, great atmosphere. It was amazing just hearing on the Royals. I guess my concerns from today are we saw shades of last season, and we saw the outfield dropping the ball, no pun intended, and just not performing well at the plate. I mean, do you have concerns or thoughts about us, you know, not redoing the outfield in the offseason? I mean, the corner spots seem pretty tough. I know Isbell had the base running blunder there in the later innings, but, I mean, we have some concerns about the outfield going forward. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I think you have concerns. Appreciate the phone call. I think you have concerns about the offense, period. Right? Now, I understand where the focus on the outfield comes from. It comes from last year. But if we're being honest about last year's offense was Bobby's the best player on the planet. Salvi's an MVP candidate for the first few months of the season, and then he's a future Hall of Famer, right? He put up all-star numbers. And Vinny Pasquantino's a broken thumb away from 20 home runs and 100 RBI. Now, last year's offense was three stars, and then you're just, you know, rubbing nickels together trying to get something else started. So for as much as we want to focus on the outfield, you know, we could talk about really any position last season outside of first base, catcher, and shortstop. Now, Jonathan India was supposed to, and I believe will, help alleviate those offensive issues, but he went 0 for 5 today. Renfro 0 for 4, Melendez 0 for 2. Now, your center fielder had, what, scored the first run of the game, put a beautiful swing in that one-out double in the third. Center cut fastball, and he laced it to left center field. A very nice swing by Kyle Isbell. And for as much as we want or will focus on the base running blunder in the eighth inning, is he getting that bunt down after Dyrone stole second base? I don't know if you can really appreciate. That's 95 miles per hour well in off the plate. I mean, that thing's going to hit him in the back elbow, and he was able to square up and lay down a perfect bunt. So if we're being honest, and Izzy made the plays in center field, base running blunder aside, and I'm not saying forget about it, but if we're talking about the offense, your center fielder did his job today. A double and a perfectly laid down bunt. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to ask more from Kyle Isbell in any game this season. You give me one extra base hit and a well-executed bunt, that's a win in my book. So no, I'm not worried about the outfield. I'm worried about the offense. I'm worried about guys not named Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny. I'm not worried about India either. But that's a new uniform. This is a new ballpark. You got to impress me. Thanks for the phone call, Austin. Let's go to Double J in Kansas City. You're next up on the postgame show on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Hey, how you doing today?
Great.
I'll tell you what, me and my brother, we were out there today. It was a beautiful day, tough loss today, too. But I'll tell you what, the atmosphere, God, what atmosphere today. We were in it to the end, and I just want to say I'm not, like, mad. I think we'll be all right. We just can't make those boneheaded mistakes on the base path, and just clean some stuff up and move on. Let's just regroup and South Rugo Saturday, baby.
Exactly. We'll right. Double J, I appreciate.
To go.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I would be surprised if anyone's angry. And you know, you said there's no reason to be, or you're not mad. Well, sure, man. It's tough to be mad after game one, knowing that you have 161 that lay before you. Now, I'm not trying to minimize this. I can't imagine Cleveland's going anywhere. Jose Ramirez is a future Hall of Famer. That bullpen's no joke. They'll get Shane Bieber back at some point this summer. Tanner Bibee's going to get over this. Hopefully, get over this food poisoning. Cleveland, you're going to be battling them likely all season. So, of course, this game was important. They're all important. But anger, frustration. I mean, I'm acknowledging that it was painful, but it was too nice of a day, too good of a game, to be quite honest with you, to be angry. It hurt. I wouldn't say I'm angry. Hey, a good way to get over it could be tomorrow, joining myself and Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell out at Hollywood Casino. Have you heard about this? Tomorrow at 6 o'clock? It's going to be a good time, man. Your second baseman, your center fielder, and myself will be sitting down at the sports book at Hollywood Casino. We'll take a question and answer session, a meet and greet with the Royals fans. Starts at 6, goes until, 7:30, 8 o'clock. We'll see how long it lasts. I'll be there, obviously serving as the host, but all the guys from 96.5 The Fan are going to be there. Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, be there tomorrow night, beginning at 6 o'clock. All right, phone lines are open for you. We'll get right back to the phone calls, the text messages, and more. 913-586-7965. Royals lose in 10 innings. 7-4, the final score. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey guys, do you realize that up to 70% of the food in grocery stores is not healthy? Nah, it's ultra processed, filled with additives, coloring, chemicals that you can't pronounce, all kinds of crazy stuff. So if you really want to eat healthy, do what me and my wife did. Become a Guaranteed Foods customer. 100% of their all natural products are totally additive free. They're the healthiest you can get, loaded with nutrition, portion packaged so there's no waste, and it's delivered by appointment directly to your shelves. Sound good? I know it sounds good. Take it from me. Try it for yourself. I promise you'll love it.
888-5000. Guaranteed Foods.
Or Guaranteed Foods.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's the Royals insider, Josh Bernier.
The 1-1 pitch. Pasquantino hits it high in the air. Deep to right field. Noel's back. Onto the track. At the fence. It's out of here. Vinny Pasquantino hits a three-run homer for the Royals' first runs of 2025.
That's a great call. Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, a three-run blast from the undeniable one. Vinny Pasquantino, he guides a 1-1 curveball that split the plate into two. He spits it into the pen in right field for his first ever hit on opening day. Vinny put the boys up 3-0. That would last 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Cole Reagans would give one back in the fourth, another in the fifth. Angel Zerpa serves up a two-run home run in the sixth, then a 3-0 lead turns into a 4-3 Royals deficit. The boys would tie it up in a dramatic ninth inning off of Cy Young Award candidate closer Emmanuel Clase. And again, Vinny Pasquantino spearheading that with that leadoff double. But Vinny's three-run home run in the third inning was our MVP play of the game, presented by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to themvpkc.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. Royals fall in 10-7-4, the final score. Sam Long takes the loss as he was on the hill for that three-run 10th inning for the Cleveland Guardians. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. We go to Justin in Gladstone. You're next up on the postgame show. Justin, how are you?
It's actually Justine, but
Justine.
I'm doing great.
Okay, hey. Justine, sorry about that. I should have known.
No, you're good. You're good, Vern. Actually, I loved how you introduced it on the Vinny. Like, the math is the math. Vinny's going to hit 162 home runs, yep. RBIs of over 400. And we're also on track to lose 162, right? Everyone needs to breathe after opening day. I had a great day at the K. It was a great opening day. We are happy. It was disappointing, but I agree with you 100%. It shouldn't be angry. It was disappointing, slightly frustrating with the base running and some of the things that they can clean up. But we've got a long season. Everyone just breathe in Kansas City. It's going to be okay.
No doubt.
Driving home.
Well, Justine, did you hear the caller earlier that was talking about just how tough the past 6 months have been as a Kansas City sports fan?
I mean, I get it. We spoiled in Kansas City. We are spoiled. If I could hit the button and say we would win a World Series every 10 years from here to perpetuity, I'd be like, let's do it. Hit that button right now.
I'll take that. I'll take that. Especially if you're winning three Super Bowls every 5 years, too.
Right? 100%. So it's going to be a fun summer at the K. Get out there, enjoy it, support them. It's going to be fun. We'll be out there all summer.
No doubt. Well, I hope I get to see you. Thank you very much, Justine. Phone line open up for you, 913-586-7965. We go out to Cardi and James. You're next up on the postgame show. James, what's happening?
Hey, Vern, I appreciate you taking the call, and I'm glad baseball season's finally back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But first thing I got to bring up, I'm confused by everyone that gets upset with Q's decisions. He's proven that he's very analytically driven. We knew that when we hired him. Mm-hmm. With Manzardo coming up, you knew a lefty was coming. He's shown in the past that he trusts Zerpa, so you knew that's who he was going to go to. You could argue whether he went to Lynch or Long, but I've got no issues with that, and I think our bullpen's going to be solid throughout the season with the arms we've added. But my question more so is, Renfro has looked lost in spring training and then today in the outfield. How short of a leash is he going to have, given how clogged up our DH position is going to be with Vinny and Salvi rotating through there?
Well, I think once Vinny's hamstring tightens up, but is back to 100%, which I would imagine is going to be Monday for that series in Milwaukee. I think you'll see Vinny back at first. I think Salvi's going to be at DH more than Vinny. I could see Hunter Renfro getting a start or two a week as the designated hitter. Because honestly, I think defensively your best corner outfielder is MJ Melendez. Defensively.
No, I tend to agree, and I don't know.
Hunter Renfro might be the second
best. I don't know who's behind Renfro.
Yeah, that's my point. I think MJ's the best corner outfielder you have defensively. Hunter Renfro's probably number two. I guess Dairon Blanco would be three, but you saw they moved Jonathan India out to left field. He made his big league debut in left field in the later innings earlier today. How short is the leash? It's a pretty short leash for both Renfro and for MJ Melendez, but what comes along with those short leashes is someone else that is warranting a longer leash. So, if MJ and Renfro both struggle, it's not as if there are a multitude of options right now banging down the door. For as much as we want to say it's Jack Caglione, I want to see how the young man perseveres through his first 0-for-8 at the AA level. So, I'm all for the attempt with India and Massey in left and Garcia in center. But I think you do that too often, they're going to get exposed defensively. I appreciate the phone call, James. And again, Did Hunter Renfrow have a great game defensively? No. But I don't think it was a brutal day defensively, an ugly day defensively. It was average. He didn't do anything that makes your eye pop out. Either way, positively or negatively, at least the way that I saw it. Again, the ball that caromed around in the right field corner. Yeah, I don't know how he plays that any better other than just running to the right field wall and putting his foot up against it to play the bank. And that's tough. You know, the Stephen Kwan ball that fell between right and center, it may not have looked the best, maybe didn't take the best angle, but I don't think there was any way he was ever going to catch it. Gave it the old college try, and Kyle Isbell was there to back it up. No, not a great throw home on the sacrifice fly from Noel in the fourth. But we know Hunter Renfrow has a terrific arm. 0 for 4 at the dish, I understand. But let's also understand that the Royals didn't get a hit in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Didn't get a hit in the eighth inning. It wasn't just Hunter Renfrow. And I don't think he was as bad defensively as it may feel. He was in a lot of, he had a lot of action out there in right field. And again, didn't do anything to impress. But in my opinion, didn't do anything to depress either. Now let's try Tyler in Kansas City. Tyler, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals fall in 10. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking the call. Glad to hear you again. I'm actually excited. I just want to tip my hat off to Vinny. I couldn't be happier for somebody, especially end of last year. You could just tell all the hard work he put in just to be disappointed with that injury. And then this year in spring training with that hammy, obviously not a big deal with the hammy, but just still, you see a guy that works as hard as he does just to get hurt. And it's just too bad. So for him to come out, 2 for 4, I believe, roughly, stuff like that. You know, yep. Homer, 3 ribbies. Just couldn't be happier for the guy. The one player that I was really interested in, and I had to listen to the game on the radio because I had to work, was our leadoff guy, India. And from the sounds of it, he had some pop on the ball. Obviously, we're in a pitcher's park, and if I remember right, I think Denny said the wind was coming from the left field towards right. But I'm excited to see what our leadoff can do, and I'm just very happy for Vinny. So thank you, Vern. You take care.
Yeah, you do the same. Appreciate it. Yeah, welcome to Kauffman Stadium, Jonathan India. I know he's played here before. I believe he has really good numbers here. Yeah, not as friendly as Great American Ballpark. India 0 for 5 today. 3 flyouts, a fielder's choice, and a pop-out. Credit to Cleveland. I thought they pitched them well. They were staying up and in to India, which led to a lot of those fly balls. Listen, I'm not sitting around waiting for Jonathan India's pop to show up. Jonathan India's a Royal to get on base. The Willie Mays Hayes, that analogy plays today. I don't think he was swinging for the fences. I think it has more to do with how the Guardians attacked him on the mound. But yeah, listen, like I mentioned, India to me is in that same category with Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, where they need to be very good to great for this team to get back to October, let alone win their division. And I'll say this, there wasn't really anyone more impressive in spring training than Jonathan India. And I'm not talking about his numbers. I'm talking about the totality of the ball player. Defensively, offensively, in the clubhouse, on the practice field, before practice, after practice, just Now, I've said it before. There were times where it felt like Jonathan India came up with Bobby and Vinny and Massey and Izzy and the rest. Like he's been a part of this core. The way that he meshed so quickly with these guys is a testament to him. His competitiveness, his work ethic to earn their respect, but also his humility and his personality. Easy guy to root for. Rough debut, but there are some good days ahead for Jonathan India in Royal Blue. Appreciate the phone call, Tyler. We go back to Kathy in Los Angeles, our good buddy. Kathy, how you been?
I'm doing pretty good, Vern. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch or listen to the whole game today because I was kind of going back and forth between this game and the other game. But I did get to, unfortunately, listen to when, you know, the end of the game. And I don't want to dump it all onto Renfro because it wasn't really, you know, all on him at the end there. But, you know, it is the start of the season, and I've got high hopes for this team, you know, based off of last year. So it is the start of the season, so we have to have a little bit of faith in this team based off of what's going on with them. So, you know.
They earned it. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I did get to see when Vinny – or not Vinny, but when Bobby went running down the first baseline to be safe at first base. One of my coworkers was just like, damn, he's fast. I'm like, that's Bobby for you.
Yeah, and appreciate the phone call, Kathy. 104 miles per hour off of the bat of Bobby Witt Jr. to the shortstop, the 5.5 hole there to the right of the shortstop. And Brian Rocchio, the Cleveland shortstop, he knew, as everybody knows, when Bobby Witt Jr.'s at the dish. But think about that. He's playing, I don't want to say usual depth, maybe back a little bit further at shortstop. And Bobby hits a rocket to his backhand. And Rocchio, knowing the unparalleled speed of Bobby Witt Jr., I mean, doesn't even completely grab the ground ball with his glove before he starts transferring and just throwing a wild throw to first. I was on target, but he wasn't looking at Carlos Santana at first. That was a blind throw by Brian Rocchio because of everything that Bobby brings to the base paths. Bobby today, 1-for-5, had that two-out single in the third, would come around to score on Vinny's three-run blast. 1-for-5 for Bobby Witt Jr., including 3 strikeouts. Kathy, thank you very much for the phone call. There's no doubt that the boys have earned some grace from all of us. And this goes back to my theme for this season, the sophomore album. We all fell in love with this team with their debut of 2024. And when you're as hot as the Royals are coming off that 2024 season, when the bandwagon is as full as it is coming off that 2024 season, the fan base will allow you that grace. They will, even if they don't necessarily vibe with the first few tracks on the sophomore album, they'll make excuses for you. Oh, well, you don't understand what they're trying to do. They're getting creative. They're trying new sounds, trying new things. Man, you're not a real Royals fan if you don't understand what they're trying. But that's only going to last so long. Now, eventually we want to see what we fell in love with on that first album. If it's more of the same, if the season ends this year the same way that it did last year, I'm not going to complain. I'm fine if this team is DMX, if this team is The Clash. That's fine. Now, I'm hoping they're Nirvana. I'm hoping they're Kendrick Lamar, A Tribe Called Quest, that the second album is even better than the first. I'm hoping so. But I think we're all just kind of nodding along with it, trying to enjoy this, expecting to see and hear all of the things that we fell in love with on that debut album of 2024. Let's go to Joe in Kansas City. Joe, you're next up on 96.5. The Fan as the Royals lose game 1 in 10 by a final score of 7-4. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, thanks for letting me call in and talk to you, Vern. I just wanted to have a question. I had a question about how you think the transition from spring training to opening day has been for India and whether you have any, like, concerns.
What do you mean transition? How so?
Mainly just because of the stat change, obviously. I mean, I know over five, not the greatest start to your season. In general, not, you know, obviously.
Oh, he's a pro. No, he's a pro, and he's about what this team is about, and that is whatever it takes to get to October. I mean, you're seeing a guy that's never played in the outfield willingly working his tail off in spring to learn the position and, you know, makes his debut earlier today. Now, you know, the story I've heard is, you know, one of the most competitive Royals I've ever been around is Brady Singer, and I've heard that he went to the front office and said, the only guy I know more competitive than me is Jonathan India. Go get him if you can. Lo and behold, they end up getting traded for one another. No, an 0-for-5 for Jonathan India. He's going to come back just as motivated on Saturday. Appreciate the phone call, Joe. No, India's a winner, even though, this might be surprising to some, India's the only guy on this team that hasn't been in a pennant race, in a playoff race. Him and Daniel Lynch are the only ones that haven't played in a playoff game. And it was just a numbers game last year. Daniel Lynch certainly earned the opportunity to pitch last October. That just goes to show you what the makeup of this team is. You know, there are no kids. There's no one wet behind the ears. This isn't a green bunch. I don't care how old your favorite Royal is. He's a vet. He is a veteran. Let's go to Shane in Olathe. Shane, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Hey, go ahead, Sam. Shane.
Hey, Vern, how are you?
I'm great, buddy. How are you?
Look, good. I think, you know, I think everybody right now is still in football mode. When we have one loss, that's the equivalent to 10 losses in baseball. I mean, we need to relax a little bit. Vinny's on pace for 162 home runs with 486 RBIs. He's going to be fine. I think everybody else is going to be, you know, India, we were hoping we'd get a little more from him. But, you know, that mistake in the eighth killed us, obviously, because with Pasquale coming up in the ninth, I mean, he would have taken the game. But, you know, I don't think anybody that's calling in right now ever expected us to go 162-0. So, you know, we just finally got out of the parking lot. In the last 10 years, this is probably the best weather we've had. So I don't know why we're just not floating coming out of the parking lot. But, yeah, that's what I got for you. I appreciate the – it's good hearing you again.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, second warmest opening day in Kauffman Stadium history. Only the 2007 opener was warmer than the 76 degrees we had today at first pitch. Now, I'm not trying to be disagreeable, Shane, but I will stick up for those listening that... Again, not angry, we're not mad, but that was painful. That was a painful loss when a base-running blunder looms so large, when the final line says Ben Lively outpitch Cole Reagans, when you have a 3-run lead, when you turn to your lefty specialist and he gets tagged by a lefty, when you get to Emmanuel Clase, all of those things make this one painful. It's a painful loss. Your point is correct, 161 games to go, but, you know, I'm just going to go back to what I heard Salvador Perez say last October when this team moved on in the postseason. I remember him doing an interview with Joel Goldberg. And he said, Joel, you know, I hope we win the World Series, but even if we don't, this is now who we are. This is our standard. This is our expectation to get to October. So, Shane, you're 100% right, man. Drink it in on a day like this. No doubt about it. But we do need to heed the advice of Salvador Perez, and that is, you know, think of yourself as a playoffs or bust organization. a division title or bust organization. You know, the same way we just had callers earlier in the show point out how difficult the past 6 months have been because the Chiefs lost a Super Bowl. Now, forget the fact that they already won three, but that Super Bowl loss hurts. Man, it makes me feel like it's been a tough 6 months, the caller said. You know, if I could teleport you back to 2014, to hear somebody say losing a Super Bowl would be tough for a Chiefs fan while that Chiefs fan wears three Super Bowl rings? Now, this team doesn't deserve that type of expectation, that type of pressure. But they're not running from it. If you want to heap that on them, you go right ahead. They're heaping even more pressure on themselves than you possibly could. They hold themselves to a high standard. I don't think there's anything wrong for fans to be hurt after this loss because of the pain. Now, if you're waving a white flag, if you're screaming, if you're angry at this guy or calling for that guy's head, okay. Yeah, you need to calm down. You are in a football mode. But to be
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Disappointed with this loss. With everything that transpired, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If you're thinking about the division title, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being disappointed with today's game, the outcome of today's game, the way that you arrived at the outcome of today's game. Shane, I'm with you. I want to hear more people like you that are able to enjoy all the pomp and circumstance that goes with opening day. The nostalgia that goes with day one of the baseball season, the beginning of summer. I'm normally right there with you. I was with you in 24 and 23 and 22 and 21. I did that in 2019. I did that in 2018. But no, man, this year's about matching or exceeding what you did on that debut album. And as I say that, you know, last year the Royals opened up the season with a loss to the defending division champions, and they do it again in 2025. All right, let's go to Overland Park and talk with Brendan. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, man. It is so good to hear your voice again because that means baseball's back. How you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I think today is categorized as a good loss. A few things that they need to button up, and that's an easy win. But I'm sorry if you already discussed this and brought this up earlier in the show. I was at the store. I had to get my wife her face wash. So I want to know the reasoning behind intentionally walking Carlos Santana when the batter behind him was on a hot streak. Sorry, I can't remember his name.
Mustache. Kyle Manzardo, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why did they walk
Lefty, lefty. Yeah, lefty, lefty. You already had two outs. Carlos Santana's the switch, hits well from the right side. Manzardo, who I understand had been tattooing lefties throughout the day, I think that had more to do with poor execution from the Royals pitching than it did some unbelievable offensive prowess from the young designated hitter from the Cleveland Guardians. So the reason why you say thanks but no thanks is left on left, Sam Long facing Kyle Manzardo. And, you know, Long just didn't get the job done. Missed on that slider. And paid for it with a two-run double to Manzardo.
Okay, gotcha. It says sometimes I just don't get the reasoning in intentionally walking anybody, especially when it's that close.
Sure. Yeah, guy on second with two outs. man on third with two outs, and they intentionally walk Carlos Santana. You know, it gives you the force at second base. But most importantly, or exactly what Q had to say after the game, it came down to the left-on-left matchup of Sam Long and Kyle Manzardo. Brendan, thanks for the phone call. Royals lose in 10 innings. 7-4 is your final score. Don't forget, we got Royals conversation going all night long. After hours with Logan Webbers coming your way in just about 15 minutes from right now. But we get back to your phone calls. We'll head inside that clubhouse and even take a peek at the text line as the Royals drop opening day to the Cleveland Guardians by a final score of 7-4. Royals have now dropped three consecutive season openers. We'll take our final quick timeout. Get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show, brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods, delivering all natural foods direct to families since 1958. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com. Make sure to subscribe to the All Things Vern podcast channel to stay up to date with your boys in blue. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
So, you ever come home after a busy day and wonder what to cook for dinner? I know I did it all the time, especially after days like this. So, you know, I'd go out and eat and spend too much at some restaurant, or you end up just fixing the same old thing or heating up leftovers. That's what me and my wife used to always do, but not anymore. No. Now with Guaranteed Foods, we've got a better option. A huge variety of healthy food, thank you, God. It's quick and easy to fix and at our fingertips 24/7. I mean, it's tender, all-natural USDA choice steaks, delightful seafood, chicken breast burgers, pork chops, you name it. Now, what's maybe best is with Guaranteed Foods, there are no lines, no crowds, no hassle or picked-over selections. I don't have to make a stop on my way home. Trust me. The best part of, no lines, crowds, hassled. You just, it's there waiting for you when you want it. With Guaranteed Food. Find out for yourself today. Do what me and my wife did.
888-5000. Guaranteed Foods. Or GuaranteedFoods.com.
Doug.
Quickly, Moo. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Okay.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
7-4 the final score. Cleveland takes opening day from the Royals in Kansas City. A very entertaining game. A bumpy first inning as Cole Reagans finds himself with the bases loaded and two outs, and then blows 97 past Big Christmas to wiggle out of that jam. The game would remain scoreless until the third inning when Kyle Isbell takes a beautiful swipe at a center cut fastball, takes it to left center field for a one-out double. Bobby then blisters one to shortstop, and because of his blistering speed himself, he's able to beat it out for an infield single. And just like that, it's two on with two outs for the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino, who takes a 1-1 curveball over the wall in right field for his first home run of the season and his first ever knock on opening day. 3-0 Royals after three in the fourth. Manzardo, Kyle Manzardo. Boy, have I said his name way too often. I mean, he earned it. It's warranted. But Manzardo rattles one in the right field corner for a one-out triple. He scores eight pitches later on a sacrifice fly. 3-1 Royals after four. Cleveland would get another in the fifth after a leadoff double to Gabriel Arias. Reagans leaves a cutter out over the dish to Arias, and he doesn't try to get big. He shoots it to the opposite field and rockets it to right. So he's on with the leadoff double. He sacrificed over, and then sacrificed in by Jose Ramirez. That made it 3-2 Kansas City after five. And then in the sixth inning, Cole Reagans comes out and gives up a rocket leadoff single to Carlos Santana, ending his day. Matt Quatrero turns to his lefty specialist to face the lefty Kyle Manzardo, who was 2-for-2 against Cole Reagans. He walked in the first and the triple in the fourth. But the first pitch from Zerpa is 97 in, and Manzardo's ready for it. 97 on the black in. He takes it 424 feet over the right field wall, 106 miles per hour off of the bat. And just like that, a three-run lead is gone. It's now a one-run deficit, 4-3 Cleveland, as we get through the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, in the ninth. Royals down to their final three outs. Vinny Pasquantino, that man again. A 100-mile-per-hour cutter in. I mean, it was over the plate. I don't want to say it was in off the dish, but a 100-mile-per-hour cutter in on the hands to Vinny, and he takes it to right field for a leadoff double. Salvi also seeing a 100-mile-per-hour cutter from Emmanuel Clase. Beautiful knock to center field, and it's first and third with nobody out. Michael Massey hits the sac fly to tie this game up, and we go to extra innings. Sam Long comes out of the bullpen. And with the automatic runner on second base, nice swing by Stephen Kwan, a fastball up. He takes it to right center field for a RBI double, putting Cleveland up 5-4. Sam Long would get the next two batters that he faced, including making a terrific defensive play coming off the mound himself. So with Stephen Kwan on third base and two outs and the Royals down by one in the top of the 10th inning, coaching staff makes the decision to intentionally walk Carlos Santana first and third with two outs. And that man again, Kyle Manzardo, steps to the dish. Sam Long, I believe, wanted that slider low and away, but instead it's down and in, which is often the nitro zone to lefties, and Manzardo takes it to right field again, plating two, and that's how we arrive at our 7-4 final score, because in the bottom of the 10th inning, Kyle Isbell went down swinging, Jonathan India flew out to center, and Bobby Witt Jr., a hard-hit fly ball that lands in the right fielder's glove. Royals are now 0-1 on the season, but they get back at it coming up on Saturday. I want to take a quick look at the text line. 913-586-7965 from the 660. Vern, I'm not sure if I like this sophomore album metaphor, because everyone knows the first album is usually the best. No, I think you get exactly what I'm talking about with the metaphor. It's legacy time now for these guys. If they can duplicate what they did last year, if it's just more of the same, you bow out in four in the ALDS once again, I know a lot of you listening would take it. Shoot, I would take it. I'll sign up for that right now. More of the same. But can they improve? Can they evolve, grow? If so, you know, we're in store for a summer unlike anything we've ever experienced. And yeah, I'm including 2015. In 2015, you didn't have a dynasty on the other side of the parking lot as well. The average sports fan in Kansas City didn't walk around with his chest or her chest sticking out the way that they do now. 2015 was great. But the arrogance, the confidence, the assuredness of this fan base now is completely different. You start piling up wins at Kauffman Stadium this summer, I think this would be, without question, the greatest time to be alive as a Kansas City sports fan. So I'm hoping that the second album is better. It was for, you know, Beyonce, Adele, Tribe Called Quest, Black Sabbath. You know, there's a lot of legendary bands and performers that were great in the debut, and then it got even better somehow. It's Spike from St. Joe writes in, Vern, if you were a betting man, would you say that the Royals are going to win more or less than 87 games? Well, I would never bet on that. A, because of the role that I'm in, but also I don't like to wait 6 months to find out if I just lost my money. But if I was I am a betting man. I just don't like those future bets. Well, Spike, I know you. You're a diehard Royals fan. If I was you, I would bet over. Because could you imagine if they need 88 wins to get into the postseason and you're, do I want them to win? I got my bet. I just bet over. But that's why you don't bet with your heart. So I would, Spike, just stay away from that bet. How about that? Always appreciate you listening. Can't wait to see you and Helen and the rest of the family come out to the K. From the 913, Vern, I've missed the sweet sound of my baseball team lost, fire everyone. We'll never recover. Enjoy the ride, Royals fans. The roller coaster to the postseason is only now leaving the station from the 913. That's a great point. Elliot from Des Moines writes in, Vern, grim game result, but isn't it nice to see a buffet of hardware behind home plate before the first pitch? Yeah, great point. How many awards did they give Bobby? They gave him the Silver Slugger. He had a Gold Glove. They gave him a ring for winning the batting title. I think there was something else in there. You know, Salvi has the Roberto Clemente Award, a Gold Glove for Seth Lugo. Yeah, no doubt. And again, to go back to the sophomore album analogy, I've heard way too many Royals fans talk about, you know, if Jonathan India can do this, if the bullpen's improved, if Michael Massey and MJ Melendez can do that, we're going to be all set. I've heard a lot of people, and man, I like it. But I think we need to put a little bit more respect on what Lugo, Reagans, Waka, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi did last year. Again, I'm hoping that they can improve, that they can match what they did last season. But Bobby Witt Jr. had one of the six greatest years ever by a shortstop. Cole Reagans had the greatest season any lefties had in this organization's history. Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans, that combination was only matched, I want to say 1991, by Brett Saberhagen and Mark Gubiza. I mean, that combo was as good of a combo as you've ever seen, Kansas City. You know, Bobby's season was, we could debate, the greatest season you've ever seen. You know, Salvi's one of the two, three greatest Royals of all time. And at age 34, had one heck of a season. Can he duplicate that? Can Lugo? Can Reagans? Can Waka? Can Bobby? Can Vinny? And once you get your answer there, then we can start talking about Michael Lorenzen and Michael Massey and MJ Melendez and the rest. But it begins with the big three. Elliot, appreciate you listening. Speaking of that hardware, Seth Lugo walking away with the Gold Glove. We'll see Seth Lugo coming up on Saturday as he is currently scheduled to square off with Gavin Williams, a fellow righty. Now, we'll see. Because Tanner Bibee, of course, scratched from the start today because of food poisoning. Maybe he's recovered by Saturday or Sunday. We'll see. But I'll talk to you coming up on Saturday beginning at 2 o'clock with the On Deck Show live from Kauffman Stadium. Thanks to Grant Nicholson back at the studio for your help over the years. And I appreciate you listening, Kansas City. Stay tuned. Logan Weber's coming up next. Much more Royals talk on 96.5 The Fan. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Out of the track, leans, it's gone. Michael Massey ambushes the first pitch.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods.
Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Junior makes a catch, a tag, and a throw, and out at home plate.
To hear more from Vern during the week, tune in to Fesco and Dusty on Monday at 8:20, Cody and Gold on Wednesday at 12:30, and The Drive on Fridays at 3. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.